This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Anne-Cécile Meffer is a women's rights activist and the president of the Women's Foundation. Engaged in a fight for equality, Anne-Cécile works to promote gender equality and end combated violence against women. Her strategies include linking up with lawyers in France who are willing to work pro bono to ensure the rights guaranteed to women under French law are actually implemented. She joins me now to discuss her work. Welcome. How are you today?
Hello, I'm really well. Thank you very much for the invitation.
And I apologize for massacring your name just now.
It's perfect.
Sorry about that. So I was reading about you, and I understand that you have been active in civil society from a very young age. You know, you were president and spokesperson of one of the largest feminist organizations in France, Osez le Féminisme, if I'm not massacring that as well.
It means their feminism.
Their feminism.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, tell me a little bit about that. How did you get into all of this?
I've always been a rebellious little girl. I don't like injustice, and I've never liked injustice. And I've always wanted to do the same thing as, you know, like if a boy was going to do something, I didn't see why I couldn't do the same thing, you know. So it's just very simple principle, like equality, and wanted to have the same opportunities in life. And then, well, because I'm a girl, I realized bit by bit that actually, because I was born a girl, then my life was going to be slightly different to boys, mm-hmm. that I wasn't going to have the same opportunities in the workplace, during my studies, and that I was going to be much more confronted to gender violence than men would ever be.
Yeah.
So it's more like bit by bit, you know, like a personal journey that made me really be a feminist. And so as I thought that I saw that there were problems and injustice when it comes to women and gender equality, I thought that I was really wanting to change that, you know, and make it better, mm-hmm. make France a better place for women. Mm-hmm. So I got involved in that fight.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about the organization, which I can't pronounce properly. What were you fighting for when you were with them?
Dare Feminism, Osez le Féminisme, is a very interesting organization because it's mainly composed of young women.
Okay.
And we do campaigns. It's activism, it's campaigns on Facebook. We use a lot of social media to raise awareness on some issues and to offer solutions to the government to make the situation better.
Okay.
And we used a lot of humor and funny videos, because sometimes the message goes even further if you can make people laugh about it.
Mm-hmm. And is that a difficult task, you know, engaging with the government, you know, trying to talk about these issues and get it out there?
Yeah, I think it's like in any countries. It's always difficult to make a big ship, you know, like a government, to change in a direction that is better for women, because it means that they have to make laws and they have to put money on the table and they have to make a lot of effort. So we have to push strong. But in France, we are quite lucky because we have a lot of support from some female journalists and some journalists in general. And we also have support from some part of the population. So we are being more increasingly more taken into account by the government.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you mentioned that, you know, the organization was mostly younger women, right? Mm. Are more younger women, you know, not afraid to call themselves feminists? There's a growing movement of people who, you know, reject the term feminism. Like, oh, I'm not a feminist. I believe in human rights, that kind of things that they say. Is that the situation?
We've had that in France. Mm-hmm. It recently changed, I would say.
Okay.
Before, like, it was very common to hear, I'm against violence against women and I'm in favor of equality, but I wouldn't call myself a feminist. And so I would think, okay, but what is a feminist to you? Like, to me, being a feminist is just this. It's just to believe in equality between men and women. It's as simple as that, you know? But first, I don't know, for some people it was too difficult because there was a lot of stereotypes against feminists, and I'm sure that they are the same stereotypes here.
Yep, definitely.
You know, feminists are women who do not raise their children well, who do not can't be in a couple, and who are ugly, and who are fat, and who are, you know, in France there's a lot of horrible stereotypes regarding feminists. I mean, there has been. But now, being a feminist is becoming more and more mainstream, to the point that this president said, our president, Emmanuel Macron, said that he was a feminist, and that the president before, François Hollande, also said that he was a feminist. So now it's like, you have to say that you're a feminist. Otherwise, you know, it's like you're against a woman or something. So I think we have won that fight.
Very good. I'm happy to hear that. We're still fighting that battle here. But you are also the president of the Women's Foundation. What made you decide to set that up? And tell me what it is that you're advocating for, you know, through this particular organization.
I could see when I was a volunteer in Osez le Féminisme, in Dear Feminism, or in other organizations helping women and fighting violence against women, I could see that those organizations were really underfunded. Okay. That we would work because we have a lot of women working for free in those organizations. So we are doing a lot of things and having a lot of success, but there is always a point where we just don't have enough money to have a bigger impact. Mm-hmm. We don't have money to have a bigger impact on fighting against violence against women, because at one point, when you change the law and you tell women to actually use the law, then there is the reality that comes, which is they need lawyers. They need access to justice. They will need a shelter if they leave their home and they don't have money, et cetera, et cetera. So during a while, changing the society with no money can go until one point where you, if you want to make the change a reality in the real day-to-day life of women, you will need means, you know, you will need resources. And those resources are financial. And they're also juridical, the legal resources, such as lawyers. So 3 years ago, I decided that now my job would be to make sure that we have more resources in the feminist organizations and the women's organizations so that they can fight better and they can have a greater impact on French women's lives.
Okay, so I guess you are like an umbrella organization in that sense that kind of finds funds for all the smaller organizations. Wonderful. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, you managed to link up with lawyers in France willing to work pro bono. I mean, tell me about that. You know, was that a uphill task? You know, how did you go about doing that?
No, actually, I had this idea of that we needed this foundation because there was no foundation in France on women. So I went to see several people, and including several women that lawyers that I knew were very sensitive to the subject. And I said, look, I want to do that foundation. Don't you want to do it with me? And we can also give legal resources, you know, because you need the money, but you also need the law. And with the money and the law, then you can actually start to have a real impact. And so they said yes, and they built the foundation together, and they gathered a lot of lawyers. And now it's it is known, you know, in Paris and in France that we have all these lawyers. And so there is more and more young women lawyers joining. Right. Because you also have to know that in France, being a female lawyer is pretty hard. There is a huge salary gap.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, between female and male lawyers, that is even higher than the average salary gap in France.
Really?
And there is a lot of sexual harassment against female lawyers because of their status in the legal form. They're more precarious than the rest of the population. So those young women are, you know, are living inequalities. They know that it exists because they're facing it every day.
Sure.
So they want to change it, and we offer a way for them to change the society and make it better. And they're very happy that they can make the society a better place for themselves and for other girls.
Mm-hmm. So, as you mentioned, you're like an intermediary, right, between companies and associations and these women's groups. And, I mean, have people been responding very well to this, you know, taking you up on these offers, I suppose, if you could call it that?
You know, last year with the Me Too movement, it really helped us. It's not easy to raise money on women's issues, right. Generally speaking, because, you know, when it comes to women, we are so used to do everything for free. You know, we're sacrificing for our kids. We sacrifice ourselves for our husband and our family. And we're used to, you know, make sure that everybody's is okay. And then we have the leftovers.
Yeah.
So when we say to women, you can give money to that to yourself in a way, you know, to defend your own rights, then they kind of like, well, yeah, but why would I do that? You know, I can help like kids at hospital and blah, blah. And, you know, there is always like other causes that are more important than themselves, you know. Right. So it's not that easy to raise money on women's issues. Mm-hmm. But bit by bit, and thanks to the Me Too movement, it's changing. And we're seeing, like in 2019, that an increasing number of people are donating money to the Women's Foundation. An increasing number of companies are doing corporate donations. So we can see that there had been a change there.
Okay. I'm speaking today to Anne-Cécile Meffes. She is the founder and president of the Women's Foundation. And Anne-Cécile is a women's rights activist from France. And she's telling us about her work, especially through the Women's Foundation. And we'll continue that discussion after this quick break. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today is Anne-Cécile Meffes. She is the founder and president of the Women's Foundation, which is an organization in France. And we're discussing her work, and we're discussing feminism in general, actually. I wanted to talk to you about an article that I saw that you co-wrote. It's called For a Wider Definition of Femicide, which I think you co-wrote with Angela Mueller, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So, I mean, talk to me about that. You know, why did you decide to focus on the issue of femicide? Is that a big issue in France?
In France, it's a very hot topic right now because we have had an increasing number of femicide, which means a woman being killed because they are women, yeah. and by their intimate partner. Mm-hmm. So domestic violence that leads to the death of women. So in last year, there was 130 women being killed. So it's like more or less one every 3 days. And since January, it's one every 2 days. Oh, so it's there is an increase of 50%. So it's really like a huge increase. We haven't started to understand yet, mm-hmm. but we can see that there is an increase. And it's it's worrying us a lot. Even though like last year was too much anyway, but the fact that it's increasing is like we have an issue there. We have to deal with urgently, mm-hmm. because some women are dying.
Yeah.
Femicide is, we call it femicide or feminicide because it's a way of showing that it's not just a partner that kills another partner. It's male violence. Mm-hmm. That leads to the death of a woman. Mm-hmm. And this male violence doesn't come from crazy men or doesn't come from, how can I say that? It's not a casual, it doesn't happen by chance, you know? It happens because we are living in a society where men largely in every aspect of our society dominate women. And they tend to believe that women are kind of their property. Mm-hmm. So when a woman wants to leave because she doesn't want to be with that man anymore, either because she's got another boyfriend or because she's fed up with, you know, with the situation and because he's been beating her, then when she wants to leave, sometimes the man doesn't want that to happen, and so he prefers to destroy the woman, mm-hmm. rather than having her free, you know, yeah. rather than letting her free. So it's really about sexism. And when we call it femicide, it's a way of showing that it's not just a murder because, you know, I want your handbag and I kill you because I want your handbag. This is a murder. Mm-hmm. But this is not a sexist murder. You know, it doesn't come from sexism. It doesn't come from male domination. Mm-hmm. And when we call it femicide, it's a way of showing that there is a system that is sexism and that is very dangerous to women because it can lead to the death of women. Mm-hmm. And it's also a way to show that if we change the society into a society that is less sexist, we might have less murder of women. So it's also a way of having hope in a way, you know, because in a world where feminism would be mainstream and would succeed, then there wouldn't be that type of violence against women and there wouldn't be that type of murder.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, something that you wrote about in the article was that, you know, it's been, I mean, this term has been around since 2014, but it's concealed and it's absent from public debate, and therefore you concluded that it's not a priority for policymakers. Do you still believe that? Is that still the case, that it's not a priority?
It is still the case. The good surprise this year was that President Macron used the word femicide, feminicide. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he is using that term. I'm not sure that he understands it, but he's using it, so that's the first step. But regarding the second part, which is, do we take it seriously? I would say no, not yet. We're not taking the appropriate measures in France to make sure that women are protected, mm-hmm. and to make sure that those murders are avoided, because we can avoid those murders. Most of those murders happen when the woman wants to leave and when she goes to the police and file complaints. And like the last murder that happened just a few days ago, this girl filed five times. She went five times to the police officers, you know, five times. And her father also went five times to the police officer to report the guy and say that this guy is dangerous. She said, he's dangerous, he's got a gun, he's going to kill me. And so the police said, yeah, but he hasn't done anything yet. And so she said, but are you waiting for him to kill me so mm-hmm. that you can react? And that's what happened. She was killed. And then the police now is like reacting, but it's too late because she's dead.
She's
so
dead.
This is one of the things that we really want to work on with the government right now, because we want to avoid this. We need to protect women when they want to leave home so that they can have safe solutions like housing if they need housing, legal protection, police protection if they need it. And we have to trust women when they say that they feel unsafe mm-hmm. and that they feel in danger.
Yeah, so we need to, I suppose, you know, sensitize the justice yeah. system as well, right? I would think that's very important.
Yeah, it is. It is key. Sensitization to the police, to the judges,
yeah.
To all this is important. But the second aspect that is also important is that if we don't spend more money, we are not going to have more police officers to actually do that job. We're not going to have enough shelters to help them. We're not going to have enough social workers. So there is, you know, we are arriving at that point where the government has done what could be done without any money, like changing law. That doesn't cost anything. But now, if they want to make it a reality and to protect women, they will need to put money on the table for that cause.
Right.
And the question is, how much do we value a woman's life?
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, violence against women, it's universally underreported. Is that also the case in France? And, you know, what are sort of the... I mean, what is the reluctance then based on what you've observed from your work?
We have figures in France. The figures are that there's only 10% of rape being reported.
Okay.
So only 10% is reported. And there is only 10% of that 10% that leads to convictions.
Right.
So basically there is 1% of rapists that are being condemned in France, convicted in France. So we have a real issue in making law enforced, making the fight against violence a reality and an effective, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because those crimes are underreported, like, why would they stop? You know?
Yeah, you can get away with it, right?
Okay, there's a law, but nothing's going to happen to me anyway. Mm. So that's why it's complicated. And this is the situation we are in right now in France, is we have laws, but how do we make them effective?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same, you know, here as well. You know, we've got the laws, but again, you know, the same problems are happening here. You know, women are afraid to report, or they're not taken seriously. You know, they're told, it's a domestic issue,
yeah.
go settle it,
yeah.
you know. And
it's those family issue.
It's a family
yeah.
issue. And even if you overhear something happening, you don't make a report on that lady's
yeah.
behalf, because it's a private matter. And I'm guessing it's the same yeah. thing over in France as well.
Exactly, yeah.
That's very depressing. So, well, I mean...
yeah, if we look at it that way, yeah.
But like you said, you know, now it's becoming more... I mean, it's being debated more in the public. It's part of public discourse, you would say?
It is being debated a little bit more these days because of the increasing number of women being killed.
Oh, that's not good.
So this is why these days, like these weeks in France, it's growing, and we are going to make it grow because we want to make it grow and we want to make it a real huge issue in French society, because those women cannot die like this with people not caring about it. You know, we have to care because it's important, you know. So that's what we're trying to do right now, and we have gathered some French actresses that are helping us to make sure that these issues are known, are you know, on TV, and that the president knows about it. And we are also building a plan with the other women's rights organizations to offer solutions to the government to make sure that we stop the increase of femicide in France.
Because those figures are quite, I mean, they're very troubling. And we know it's a global phenomenon. It's not just happening in France or Malaysia.
It's only the number of women who dies, because some of them survive and then stay like discapacitated for their whole life. Or well, it's a very depressing subject,
but the fight continues. Yeah. And but I mean, some good news. Last August, France adopted legislation against sexual harassment in the streets. I mean, that was a big deal. I know it imposes on-spot fines of up to 750 euros against the harasser, if I'm not mistaken. And we're seeing more and more of that being enacted and action being taken, I hope.
Yeah.
You don't look very convinced.
Well, I mean, it's good. I mean, anything that goes toward people understanding that sexism is not acceptable anymore is good. Mm. So we take it. But it's not that law that will change the day-to-day life of women in France. And so it goes in the right direction, but it cannot be shown as a solution, you know, or as a real, solution towards a society without violence against women, because we need to do much more.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think needs to be done? Is it in terms of education? Is it in terms of, you know, how everyone tells you, we must teach our girls to be safe, but, you know, what about teaching boys respect and, you know, those sorts of things? Are those sorts of conversations happening as well?
Yes. And at the Women Foundation, we have worked on it because we believe that if we want to have a society without violence against women, we need to go to the source of violence. And the source of violence is the way that men are being brought, you know, are raised. So today, French boys are still raised with the idea that they have to be strong and conquer the world and conquer women, and that they have to be the boss, and they have to dominate in their home, and they have to earn more money, and they have to provide for the family. And it leads to violence against women. I mean, all this leads to violence against women. It's all linked together. So we have to make sure that the little boys that are, that are born today and don't receive the same message, because otherwise violence will just reproduce one generation after another. And we have to stop that.
That you know, when the Me Too movement hit, I think a lot of people assumed that it didn't catch on as much in France. And I mean, I think we all know about how the French actress Catherine Deneuve and I think it was 100 other prominent women, they signed a letter that declared their opposition to and their rejection of the Me Too, you know, denouncing it as an affront to French gallantry and seduction. Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh like that. But
yes,
I
mean, you can laugh, actually. It's quite ridiculous. It's okay.
But how did you feel, you know, when faced with that, you know, coming from women themselves?
I felt sorry for her because, look, she's known and, you know, to, you know, even in Malaysia, you know, that she's been doing that not very clever statement. Mm-hmm. So I feel sorry for her. The issue is that actually in France, Me Too has had a tremendous impact.
Okay.
It really changed the way that boys are and men are understanding sexual violence. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of men really also thought about of their own behaviors. Mm. And I think it's helping a lot. Because it's helping, you know, they can understand better what seduction is and where there is a line between seduction and harassment.
Yeah.
And that they cannot go they cannot go out of the border, you know. So this is a good point. Also, a lot of women speak out, and there was an increase in reporting to the police, a 30% increase of reporting sexual violence in 2018. So it doesn't mean there had been more violence. It means that it was more reported. So that's very good. That's a very good thing because women speak out. But there was this Catherine Deneuve, and she's, it was just, how can I say that? The way that conservatism in France, they had to, in a way, they had to express themselves. And it's the way they express themselves, saying that they wanted to protect the French lover myth, you know? And yeah, and actually, where I disagree with her is that the Me Too movement isn't against love. It isn't against seduction. It isn't against the French romanticism. It's against sexual harassment. And there is a very big difference, which is consent and reciprocity.
Yeah. And I think it says a lot about how much sexual violence against women is deeply rooted, not just in France, French culture, but, you know, I mean, a lot of people who rejected it, you know, it shows that deeply ingrained sexism that you were talking about as well, you know, that everyone is trying to fight anyway.
In the 70s, the feminists called it the rape culture, which means that we are raised in a society where sexual violence against women are not seen as a real big issue, and that if there is a woman that is raped, we are all of a sudden looking at her and saying, like, why was she raped? Like, what was she drinking? How was she wearing? How was she behaving? Like, as if it was impossible that she could be raped. So everybody knows that there is rape, but when there is a woman actually raped, it's not a rape, you know? So we always try to put all the burden on the victim. It's the victim blaming. This is part of this... I mean, in France, I don't know here, but I guess there is probably some similarities here where it's always the fault of the woman. So women have to hide. Women have to go back early to their homes. Yeah. Women cannot go to bars. Women have to behave in front of men and be very careful in what they say and what the way they behave, because if anything happens, it's going to be on them. And as it's always very difficult to prove sexual aggression, sexual harassment or rape, it will always go back on them. So it's also one of the reasons why it's underreported. So this is part of the culture, and this is why there is so many sexual violence, unfortunately, still in our on our planet.
But I guess, you know, that is part of what the Women's Foundation is actually doing, you know, to counter all of this, to make sure that there is enough support, like you said, you know, financial, but also legal support. Very, very important in all of that.
Yeah, it is important. So what we do, for instance, is that we support, you know, sometimes there are some cases in the court that focuses the attention of the media and of the journalists. So when it's like this, when it's a very... pedagogical case, let's say, because all the media are looking at it because it's very typical, then we put more lawyers in that case to make sure that the victim can win, you know, because we want to build jurisprudence where women can actually win rape cases. And it's very difficult for them to win rape cases. So because a lot of proofs are not considered as proofs. With our lawyers, we are trying to build, we are really trying to use the law as a tool to fight for equality and to fight against violence against women. And I know that a lot of very interesting and very brave Malaysian women are doing the same here. I've met some of them in the last 2 days. And I have to say that I'm very impressed with the women's movement here and what they've accomplished. And so when I come back to France, I'll come back with the new ideas to bring back to my country and fight better against violence against women.
Okay, wonderful. And I mean, just to conclude, I was just wondering, you know, do you also get a lot of media support, you know, for the work that you do back home in France? Because I think that's also important, right, to get the conversation going as well.
It is very important. The way that the media are treating violence against women is a key element that is helping us to win our battle.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the media are not covering, for instance, not talking about the woman being killed, it's a way to just let the society be blind about the existence of a woman dying of violence against women. When the media is talking really badly about domestic violence, saying, like, it's a family drama.
Yeah.
It's not a family drama. Like, there's no drama in the family. There is, this guy has a problem, you know? The fault is on yes. the guy, not on the family. Let the family, you know, be a family. And so it's, yeah, a way that when media treats it well, it helps people understand the problem, understands where the problem comes from, and it's opening the way for us to then, you know, explain also the problem and go with solutions and bring solutions to the government to make a better society.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, to kind of normalize that conversation, it also helps women to not feel so isolated, you know, if they are facing those situations, to be able to come out and yeah. to speak and to seek the help that they need.
Oh, yeah. Sensitization by the media is really key. A lot of women in France still don't know their rights, and I guess it's the same here. A lot of women in France don't know the organizations they can go to if they ever face violence against women,
yeah.
and I guess it's the same here. And with the media, it's all this information that is coming to them. Yeah. Plus, we don't have to forget that in the media, I mean, that's what happened recently in France. There is also some problems, you know, female journalists.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. You know, sometimes they're not as they're not paid as well as their male colleagues. Sometimes they also suffer sexual harassment in the workplace. And there had been some cases like this in France recently. So I think this is also why today the media are like also helping us a little bit more, because they understood that they are also a part of the problem, so they can be also part of the solution.
Okay, all right. And you're heading back to France soon, but you know, what are you working on in the next, I suppose, in the immediate future?
In Malaysia?
When you head home.
I think,
are you doing
in Malaysia? I'm just going to the beach. But
well done.
A little bit of holidays. No, because when I come back, we're going to be working on femicide. So it's going to be a very tough subject. What we are doing right now is that we are gathering several organizations
mm-hmm.
to bring together solutions we can present to the government to have really immediate and urgent measures to stop the increase of femicide in France.
Okay, and those channels are open between, you know, the government and civil society.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. At the, you know, this is also why we have to work really fast, because there is this emergency and the door is open, so we have to go fast and present solutions that will be effective to protect women in the very short term, in the next month.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much for joining me
Thank
today.
You.
I've been speaking to Anne-Cécile Maifer. She is the founder and president of the Women's Foundation, and we were discussing her work to end combated violence against women. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, you can search for the podcasts on our BFM app, which is available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.